But turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, we continue, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. It's a powerful letter. In fact, we're seeing one of the great letters in God's Word, one of the key books in the Scripture. This sometimes letter is called the Gospel of God, because what we see is sin and salvation and Christian life and Israel and the church and practical applications. This letter changes lives, as does the entire Word of God. In fact, Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, goes right to the heart of the issue. So it's true that the Word of God changes us. As we study this morning, we're in that hard section. I talked about it last week. We see the sin of mankind. What happens when mankind fulfills his own fleshly desires? That's what we're going to see. When we study God's Word, we go verse by verse. There's some passages that are a lot more fun than others, and this one isn't quite that much fun because it actually shows us what this fallen world is like. And so it's sort of sad. And this morning, we see what I call the moral decline of man. What happens when God lets man fulfill his own lust? And that's what we're going to see. As we study this passage, we want to understand the fallen state of mankind, but we also want to remember that God has a provision for us, and that is his Son, Jesus Christ. So there's some great things we'll see as we go through this. Let me begin with this question. Is man good or bad? What are we like? Are people basically good or people basically evil? When a person is born of this world, what are they like? There's some who say, well, we're like a blank slate, and based on our experiences, we're either good or bad. But others would say we come into this world and we're dead in sin. In fact, when we go to God's Word and our experiences, we find that we come into this world dead in sin, fallen people with a natural bent to sin. Ephesians 2:1 says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says the natural man receives not the things of God. Romans chapter 7, Paul says that I know in me, that is my flesh, dwells no good thing. We realize from God's perfect Word and from the world at this fallen world that mankind is naturally sinful. As we continue our study of the book of Romans, we are seeing this section, the section in which it gives us a good picture of what we're really like. It's not fun to study, but we have to go through it because when we go through God's Word, we go verse by verse, passage by passage, we need to get the entire counsel of God. We'll go fairly quickly through this passage. It's a long passage normally for a Sunday morning. We're going 24 through 32. That's a lot. But we're going to see it quickly as we go through it, as we see the moral decline of man. Let's begin. And as we begin, let me remind you of where we are. We've been seeing the introduction of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, the introduction. Paul, of course, the apostle, writes to the believers in Rome. He wants them to know about his plans. He wants them to, he wants to give them doctrinal truth so they can understand it. And then he wants them to make application in their lives. Now, this morning, we're moving into what we call the heart of the letter. Now, I've got an overhead for you that's called Romans at a Glance. Let's put that one up if we can. Romans at a Glance. There it is. Now, this is the book as a whole. We saw this to begin with. We're in section 1, which is called The Problem. No one is righteous. Pretty soon, it'll take us a little bit, but we'll get to some good stuff because we're going to get to the solution, which is in chapter 3 and 4, which is we're righteous by faith in Christ. And then chapter 5, the peace, how we live. And chapter 6 and 7 is the conflict of the Christian life. And chapter 8 is the victory because there's nothing can ever separate us. We have the assurance of salvation. Chapters 9 to 11 deal with the Jews. Chapter 12 through 16 really gets the practical application. Now, that's where we are in the book. Now, what I've got is another overhead for you, which actually deals with section 1. This is where we are. We're section 1, basically dealing with about the first three chapters. And what we find is that the whole point that he's trying to make in this first section, and this is a hard thing, is that mankind is basically guilty. Now, we said that in chapter 1, chapter 2, and the first part of chapter 3, we find that there are three kinds of people as a whole. There's the bad guy, called the wicked person. There's the good guy, which is in chapter 2, and then there was the religious person. The point is that all are sinful. We saw, and that's where we are now, we're in section 1, which we're seeing what we call the wicked person. We're seeing that man has rejected God. Man does his own thing. We're going to see the moral decline of man. One thing about it, when you look at this passage, you say, yeah, people are sinful. They're guilty. But you get to chapter 2, and I call it the good person because the person in chapter 2 is saying, hey, I'm not like that. I don't do the stuff in chapter 1. I'm not that bad a guy. And the truth is, even though we're not that bad a guy, the fact is we all sin and come short of the glory of God, we're still guilty. Then we get over in chapter 2:17 to chapter 3:8, and it talks about the religious person, the person who says, oh, I try to live by God's Bible, and I go to church, and I do that, and those kind of things. And yet they find that regardless, and he's dealing, of course, with the Jewish people in this chapter, but he says they're all guilty, still sinful. So the summary in chapter 3, verse 9, verse 2 through 21 is the conclusion. No one is righteous. We're all guilty. And that's what he's trying to do. Now, it's kind of hard because we're going through this, and we can't go through it as fast as just reading it. It'd be over quickly if we could just read it. But as we go through this and study it, we find that people are sinful. Whether they're bad, they're good, or religious, we all sin and come short of the glory of God, and we need a Savior. Man is bankrupt. Now, last time we began looking at what we call the bad man. That's chapter 1. And we see that mankind is all. We're talking about the fallen world, the world that we live in. We see man at his worst. That's what this chapter is about. We said there were two sections. We said that we divided into two parts. Chapter 1, verse 18 through 23, and 24 through 32. Last week we saw 18 through 23, which was man rejects God and rejects the glory of God and worships false gods. Then in verses 24 to 32, which is where we are today, we see the moral decline of man. It's a sad thing. And we saw it. Now, let me remind you of what we saw last time. Three things stood out. We said, first of all, that God had made himself known to mankind. Whether it's through the creation or through the fact that even inside every person, there's this idea that we know that we have this concept of eternity and we have a conscience of the right from wrong. Man knows about God. What we found last week is that man rejects God. Doesn't give God the glory. He doesn't even thankful to God. He rejects God. And when he rejects God, he then changes God and he worships something other than God. It may be a human being. It may be a bird. It may be a four-footed animal. It may be a crawling thing. I called it last week, you know, human beings and bugs and birds and beast, and that's what we do, human beings. And we talked last week that when man rejects God, he worships anything and everything. And when man rejects the true God, he creates false gods and worships them. Now, from that's what we saw last week. As we move into verse 24, we're going to see what I call the moral decline of human beings. When man turns away from God, he descends, in a sense, morally, from idolatry to immorality. Warren Wiersbe says this way. He says, when man rejects God and becomes his own God, he thinks he can do whatever he pleases. He fulfills the lust of his flesh. Oswald Chambers said, the essence of sin is that man refuses to recognize he's accountable to God. So this morning, and we're going to go through it quickly, we're going to see a tough passage because we're going to see our fallen world. We're going to see what we're all like. The fallen world system, what mankind is like. And it's pretty tough. As we look at this section, there's a statement that you have to see, that you have to understand, so you can put the passage together. Notice verse 24. We're going to see it in 24, 26, and 28. It's the statement, God gave them over. Look at 24, verse 1. Look at verse 24, start of the verse. Therefore, God gave them over. Look at verse 26. For this reason, God gave them over. Look at verse 28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over. Now, we're going to see that three different times in this little passage. It says God gave them over. What does that mean? To give them over means that God allows man to fulfill his own sinful desires. It's like that God says, okay, you reject me, you turn away from me, you make your own gods. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you over to your own sinful desires. I'm going to let you do what you choose to do. Now, we know that mankind as a whole is fallen. We have the flesh, we have the natural bent to sin, to do wrong, and these passages say God gives us over. He lets us go, so to speak. Literally, to fulfill our own desires. Charles Hodge says this, he lets man be under the dominion of his sin. God lets man fulfill his lust. Now, notice this. This is what's incredible. Go back again to verse 24 and notice three things there. It says, when God gives them over, notice, therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts. Look at verse 26. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. Look at verse 28. Just as they did not acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind. So three times God gives them over. Once he gives us over to their lust of their hearts. Number two, to the degrading passions. Number three, to a depraved mind. Now that's what we're going to see as we go through. The truth is, man left to himself to fulfill his own desires will destroy himself. Now you know that. You look at this world around us. What happens when people move away from God and his word and the truth and that? We see a fallen world that destroys itself. This is a sad portion of God's word. And we're going to go quickly and we're going to just look at it and be able to say, yes, that's what we see. Now, let me give you a brief review. Remember what we saw last time? God has made himself known to people through the creation, through the inner witness, as we said. And yet man has rejected God, not being thankful, not giving God the glory, even changed God to be some kind of idol. And look at verse 23. This is where we ended last week. Verse 23. And he exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image. Now, exchanged means swapped out. Swapped the glory of the incorruptible God, the eternal, all-powerful, sovereign, ruling God, swapped him out for an image in the form of a corruptible man, birds, four-footed animals, creeping creatures, or crawling creatures. We could say it this way, man, birds, beast, bugs. That's what we do. And we talked last week, and gave a few examples, and all you have to do is turn on the television to some of those educational channels. They'll take you all over the world, and they'll show you what people do in the name of worship, what they follow, what they worship. Man does that. When man rejects God, what does God do? God gives man over. Now that means God lets man fulfill his desires. Now you know that inside of us, we have what we call the flesh. The Bible calls it the flesh, the old man, the bent to do wrong. Has all that inside of us. Just a natural pull to do wrong. If left to ourselves, we'll destroy ourselves. So what God does when man rejects, this is what Paul is showing us in Romans. This is a theological truth lived out right here. When man rejects God and goes after false gods, God lets him go. It's pretty powerful. Watch what he says. Look at verse 24. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. When he says therefore is referring back to the fact he says, now, since man rejects God, since man worships the creation rather than the Creator, God decides to give them over. Notice, God gave them over. God let them go. Notice, God gave them over into the lust of their hearts to impurity. Now, when we talk about the heart, you've ever heard people say, oh, you know, I'm going to speak from the heart. Be careful. The heart is deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? That's Jeremiah. The inside of us, as Paul says in Romans chapter 7, in my flesh dwells no good thing. Inside of every human being, there is a natural bent to sin. That's just the way we are. We come into this world, dead in trespasses and sins. Left to ourselves, we'll destroy ourselves. We're seeing what happens to a fallen world when God says, I'll let you go. It says, and God gave them over, notice, to the lust of their hearts. This flesh, this pull. And he says, the lust of their hearts to impurity. The word impurity there is just a simple word for uncleanliness, but it's always used for sinfulness. That's what it is. He says, God lets them go and says, okay, I'll let you fulfill the lust of your own flesh. The lust of the flesh. And notice what he says. And it's going to get worse as we go through the passage. He says, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. He says, God gives them over to the lust of their flesh, to impurity, uncleanliness, sinfulness. So what happens? That we would dishonor, or that man dishonors their body among themselves. Now he's going to deal with what man does in a physical, sexual way. That's what he's going to talk about in here. That's what he deals with first. When mankind rejects God, God gives them over. Our bodies are for the glory of God. That's what we're supposed to do. In Romans chapter 12, he says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, what, do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. What we're supposed to do is glorify God in our bodies. But in a fallen state, when God lets us go, it says here, we dishonor our bodies among each other. Our bodies are for glory, not dishonor. And that's what we do. Notice, he gives a truth that we've already seen. You remember back last week we talked about it and I said that if when a person rejects God, he'll worship anything. In fact, he'll worship the creation rather than the Creator. That's what this verse says. Look at verse 25. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, human beings, when God gives them over to the lust of their hearts, they dishonor their bodies. We'll talk more about that in a second. But they exchange, they swap the truth of God for a lie. They swap the truth of God for a lie. What's the truth of God? That God is the Creator, that He is the Savior, that the Word of God is true, John 17:17. What's the lie? The lie is that man's on his own. The lie is that man controls his own destiny. See, that's the lie that is the very beginning. In the Garden of Eden, what did Satan say to them? You will be like God. You can do your own thing. And that's what people do. We swap the truth of God, who is the fact that He is the Creator, the Sovereign Ruler, loves us beyond anything, controls all things, works all things according to the counsel of His will. We reject that, and we go to a lie, thinking we're in control and that we do our own thing. And what happens? They worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Instead of serving the living and worshiping the living God, we've already seen back in verse 23 that they make up gods and they serve and worship the creation. They worship birds and animals and people and all kind of things. And then the Bible says, and I thought it was Isaiah 55, but it talks about the fact that and it's always amazed me that it says that a man will take a tree. This is Isaiah, and he says a man will take a tree and he'll cut down the tree. Half of the tree he will make a fire and warm himself. The other half of the tree he will form it into an image and bow down and worship it. Exchange the truth of God for a lie and serve and worship the creation rather than the Creator. Now from there, he's going to get more detail. And we're going to see the first thing he's already said, he gave them over to the lust of their hearts. Watch verse 26. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. Now, in verse 26, he continues. He says already that he gave them over to the lust of the hearts. Now he says, for this reason God gave them over, let them go to degrading passions. Now, he's going to deal in this section, and I know it's hard, but we got to talk about it. It says it. We're going to have to deal with the whole physical and sexual. That's what he's going to talk about. Now, passion can be good. I mean, you can say, I've got a passion to love people. I've got a passion to study the Bible. You've got a passion to serve God. Passion in itself is not bad. You can have great passions. This passage says, he gave them over to degrading passions. Now, degrading is the idea of pulling down. That's what he's talking about. What is the degrading passions that he's going to talk about in verses 26 and 27? You know what it is? It's homosexuality. We'll see it in just a second. Notice he says, for this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. He's going to deal with both men and women. He's going to deal with women first. Notice what it says. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. He's saying women exchanged the natural function for the unnatural. Let me tell you something. In the Bible, there, especially the Greek New Testament, there are several words. There's words for man. For an individual man, the Greek word is aner, and it means a man. For the individual woman is the word gune. Okay? So man is aner, woman is gune. So be careful. Don't call your wife or your girlfriend a gune. But that's what it is. Now, that's not the words used here. That could be the word gune or aner could be husband, wife, man, woman. In this passage, when it says, for this reason, the women exchange the natural function, and then in the next verse it says, and men. These are the two Greek words for male and female sex. He doesn't say man. He says the male sex, the female sex. So reading this passage, he says, for this reason, God gave them over to degrading passage, for their female sex exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, the male sex abandoned the natural function of that of the female sex. Now, we're seeing an incredible thing here. He says, for this reason, God gave the female sex exchanged the natural function for the unnatural. They swapped. In the same way that man swapped the truth of God for a lie, they swapped the natural function, female-wise, for the unnatural. See, when mankind moves away from God, they move away from God's natural order. God's natural order is that men and women are to be together in a sexual way, in a loving way, in a family unit, in a marriage. God said a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to the wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And his whole plan is this marriage union. And yet it says here that when God gives them over and lets them go, and man fulfills the lust of the flesh and the degrading passions, it says first in this passage, women, the female, exchange the natural function, which is unnatural. That's homosexuality. It's a degrading passion. It's women with women. But he's not through. He goes on in verse 27. And in the same way, doing the same thing, we might say, also the men, the male sex, abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. He says, in the same way as the females left the natural for the unnatural, Then the male left the natural for the unnatural. In the same way, the men abandoned. The word abandoned means to move away. And it doesn't just mean move away. It means move away from what's right. That's what the word says. He says, left the natural function of the woman. See, the plan is that men and women loving each other, being married, Adam and Eve, be fruitful, fill the earth, sexual desires in the right way. But notice what it says. It says, they burned in their desire toward one another, men with men. It literally says, set on fire for each other. That's what it says. Committing indecent acts. Now, if a person says, and you know, there are a lot of people in our culture that say homosexuality is fine. Let me tell you, if you have any doubts whether it's right or wrong, he calls this indecent acts. We live in a world that wants to say that's just an alternate lifestyle, but what it really is, it's a perversion, it's unnatural, and it's sin. Now, I want you to understand something. There are a lot of sins. This one sin is not greater than all the other sins. In fact, before we get through in this passage, when we get down to verse 29, 30, and 31, he's going to have the biggest list in the New Testament of sins. He's going to list them all. You can look down there and go, yeah, that's pretty much all the sins there. They're going to be there. But I want you to understand that homosexuality is wrong. It is described in this passage as degrading, unnatural, and indecent. Now, let me say something else. Any sexual relationship outside of the marriage bond is wrong, whether it's same sex or opposite sex. It doesn't make any difference. Hebrews 13 says, the marriage bed is undefiled, but adulterers and fornicators God will judge. The only time a person has ever had sexual relations with someone of the opposite sex is in the marriage relationship. And let me tell you, sexual relationship between a man and a woman outside marriage, sexual relationship between a man and a man or a woman are all wrong. And this is in this passage, he's dealing with the homosexuality. Notice what this verse says toward the end. It says, burning the desire one with another, men committing indecent acts, and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. He says there's consequences, and we know that there are consequences when people have sexual relations outside marriage. We know there are consequences when people of the same sex have marriage, sexual relations. We know that. We know that there is diseases. And those kind of things happen. That is God's plan. Now he says, when people reject the true God. And then in this section he says, and he gives them over to degrading passions. And this is homosexuality in this section. Now, God gave them over to the lust of their heart, dishonored bodies. God gave them over to degrading passions, homosexuality. There's one more. And we're going to go very quickly through this. Notice, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Now, here's the third thing. The first thing, he gave them over to the lust of the heart's dishonored body. Gave them over to degrading passions, homosexuality. This one, he gives them over to a depraved mind to do things which are not proper. Now, I want you to see two things about the verse. First, it says, just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer. To recognize God, to recognize that He is the Creator, He is the sovereign ruler of all things, that we're to glorify Him and be thankful, as we saw back. But they reject the true God, goes after false gods, and so He says, because of that, God gave them over to a depraved mind. The word depraved means an unapproved, some Bibles translate it reprobate mind. It means a foolish way of thinking, thinking in the wrong way, same way as back in verse 22. It says, the professor themselves to be wise, they became fools. A foolish person is a person who rejects God. A foolish person says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So notice what he says. He says, just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do things which are not proper. The word proper means moral. Morally right. They do things that are morally wrong. He allows man to live out the lust of his flesh. Now, this is a hard passage. We've already seen he gives them over to the lust of the heart's dishonored body, gives them over to degrading passions, homosexuality, gives them over to a depraved mind. What's that going to result? Well, that's verses 29, 30, and 31. Now, I want you to understand something. If you go in your Bibles to Galatians 5, don't turn there, but Galatians 5, 19, 20, and 21 says, the lust of the flesh or the deeds of the flesh are, and he lists a bunch of sins. There's a lot there, but in Romans 1, verses 29, 30, and 31 is the longest, biggest list of sins in the New Testament. In fact, I think in the whole Bible. Look what he says. Now, we're going to go very quickly through this, because we couldn't stand to go slow through this. Look what he says. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossip, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, and he goes on and on. We'll talk about them as we go through it. But these are sins that are listed there. And you know, people say, well, you know, what's a little sin? The truth is, a little sin never stays little. This is a picture of our fallen world. And when man lives out his sinful desires, this is what comes out. Notice, being filled with all unrighteousness. Literally, it says having been filled. It says action in the past with the continuing results. This is a picture of the fallen world. We'll go quickly through this. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is just the general word for sin. It means not being righteous, not following after things of God. Wickedness. Wickedness means evil, means doing evil. Do you realize there are people in this world who are evil and choose to do evil and want to do evil? He goes on and says, greed, that means wanting more and more and more. It means the idea of coveting. And then he says evil, and that means just to do bad, just to do wrong. And then he says full of envy. Envy is almost the word jealousy. It has an idea of against a person. It's like you're envious about what somebody else has or somebody else does or something else about that person. That's what it means. That's what comes out. That's what we're like. And then he says murder, and that means to take a life. It means to kill. It has that idea of taking something in an innocent way and putting somebody to death that's not supposed to die, killing them. And then it says strife, conflict, lack of harmony. That's what we see. Deceit. Deceit is untruth. It's lies. People are deceitful. Human beings as a whole in a fallen world, left to their own, given over to a depraved mind, will be deceitful. And then he says malice. Malice means an intent to do evil, an intent to do wrong. And then there's gossips at the end of verse 29. Gossips means, literally the word means false words. It means to talk about somebody. We all know what gossiping is. People do it all the time. Then in verse 30 says slanderers. That means to defame. That means that you want to say something in order to hurt somebody else. That's what a slanderer is, and that's what comes out. The next one, haters of God. That's literally one word. It means God haters. See, the truth is when man rejects God, he ends up hating God. That's what he does. And then he says insolent, which means violent or aggressive, going after people. Arrogant, which means prideful. We live in a prideful world. People are arrogant. And then he goes on and says boastful, which means to make more of self. Boastful is the idea that you pretend to be something better than you are. Or you may even think you are, but that's what boastful is. Now, look at the next one. It's pretty strange. Inventors of evil. In a fallen world, we even invent ways to do things wrong. We come up with new things, you know, with new ways of doing bad. The last part of verse 30 says disobedient to parents. It's a picture of our world. The fabric of our society is the moms and dads and children. And here we see that the fallen world, the family unit is destroyed as the children are disobedient to the parents. He goes on without understanding in verse 31. Without understanding, missing the truth of God and His Word. Trustworthy or untrustworthy is what he says in verse 31. Meaning you can't be trusted, not faithful, doesn't do what they say. Unloving. Now this word is unusual because it doesn't just mean you don't love somebody. It means no natural affection. We see in our society where mamas and daddies, and this is used in a parent-child, child-parent relationship. You've seen mamas and daddies, and we read things in the paper, and we say, how could a mama or a daddy do that to their child? And then you also read where, how could that child go shoot their daddy in the head and kill him? How could they do that? No natural affection in a fallen world. And then he says, unmerciful, which means you just don't care. Now you look at this list, and it's not fun to look at it. It's not fun to see what we're really like and how this fallen world, when God allows man to go his own way. Now the summary is in verse 32. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice those things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they also give hearty approval to those who practice them. He says, although they know the ordinance of God. Listen, do fallen world know what's right and wrong? Yes. We'll see it in the next chapter. In chapter 2, verse 15, it says, the word of God is written in on our hearts. People have a conscience. They know right from wrong. And even though our fallen world knows right from wrong, that they know that those who practice such things are worthy of death. What is the wages of sin? It's death. When people sin, they deserve death. That's what it says. He says, even though they know that, they not only do the same thing, but they give hearty approval to those who practice it. Our world says, hey, we know it's wrong. We're going to do it. We want you to do it. You want to see that? All you have to do is turn on your television set, and you'll see people doing things wrong and wanting other people to do things wrong as well. They give hearty approval to those. Our world says we have the right to do whatever we want to do. In this passage, the fallen world. God gave them over to the lust of their flesh. God gave them over to degrading passions. God gave them over to a depraved mind. The result is sin and moral decline. We're not through. Next week when we get to chapter 2, we're going to look at what we call the good guy. The good guy who would say, hey, I don't do that. I'm not haters of God. I'm not disobedient to my parents. I'm pretty trustworthy. I wouldn't hurt my own children. I wouldn't have my own children. You know, I'm not that kind of person. And when we get to chapter 2, he's saying, you know, when you look around and you judge and say, those people do that, guess what? You condemn yourself because you do the same things. May not do it to the same degree, but you do the same things. The bad man, the good man, the religious man, doesn't make any difference. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. What have we seen? We've seen that man rejects God. When he does, God allows man to fulfill his own lust. He gives them over. He gives them over to the lust of the hearts to dishonor their bodies. He gives them over to degrading passions, homosexuality. He gives them over to depraved minds. The list of sins and rebellion that we see. People know it's wrong, they do it, and they give approval to others who do it as well. Let's finish. Let me give you some applications. The first one is realize the simpleness of fallen man. Just realize it. We are not good people who do sometimes things bad. We come into this world dead in trespasses and sins. We naturally sin. We have a pull to the flesh. We naturally go against God, and God has given us over. There's an old saying that says, if you think you're not going to fall into sin, you're godlier than David, you're stronger than Samson, and you're wiser than Solomon. Mark Twain said, we are all like the moon. We have a dark side. And it's true. Our world called homosexuality an alternate lifestyle. It calls pornography an expression of free speech. It calls adultery as an affair and living together. Man cannot be reformed. He must be made new. By faith in Jesus Christ, we trust in Christ, we become a new creation. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Realize the sinfulness of man. Second, God allows man to fulfill his fallen desires. You ever wonder why the world is so bad? Could God make you worship him? He could. He could do anything he wants to do. God doesn't make you worship him. In fact, when man rejects God, God allows man to fulfill his fallen desires. He gives them over to lustful hearts, gives them over to degrading passions, gives them over to a depraved mind, dishonor their bodies, homosexuality, list of sins. Alan Johnson says that when man abandons God, he is abandoned by God to his own lust. People know right from wrong. They have a conscience. They know. That takes us to our third thing. And that we got to be faithful to love and to share the good news. We've got to. We by the grace of God, we have trusted in Christ as Savior. We come together to worship our Savior, to study the Bible, to grow and to be conformed to the image of our Savior. But we live in a world which is described in Romans chapter 1. And the people we come in contact with every day have been given over, you might say. And we must love people. We don't want to have to love their sin. We hate their sin, but we love the people. And we have to tell them of the only way. There is only one hope for fallen man, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him. There's no other name given under heaven whereby we might be saved except the name Jesus Christ. He is the only way. We must tell them. Martin Luther said, no one has fallen so far that he cannot be raised up. God can take one who is dead in sin and make them alive in Jesus Christ. How? By faith in Christ. He gives us eternal life and a new life. May we realize the sinfulness of the fallen world in which we go into every day. That God has let man, who has rejected him, God has let man to go his own way, to fulfill his own lust, to degrading passions, to a lustful heart, to a depraved mind. He's let him do that. May we be faithful to love and to share with people the only way of salvation to a lost and fallen world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage. It's so hard. Help us to see it and understand it. We realize that that we are sinful as a people, as a fallen world. We just look around, we see it, and we see that we have been given over, so to speak, that we have rejected, as a people, we have rejected you. And Lord, you have allowed man to fulfill his own desires, degrading passions, depraved mind, lustful hearts, all of those things. But Lord, may we be faithful as men and women who know you, who want to live for you, and that as we go into this community, we get to tell people about your love and the good news of Jesus Christ, the only hope for a fallen man in a fallen world. Lord, I thank you for this body of believers, and we just ask you, Lord, that you would use us for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.